Luke 10:29-37. But he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered him and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. That's where we're going to read from in just a moment. A number of years ago, when I was going through the 2-year program at Sunset, through the preaching school that they have down there in Lubbock, Texas, my wife and I had the opportunity to spend the summer in Southeast Asia. And we spent the first half of that time in the country of Cambodia, teaching in Sunset's branch school there in Phnom Penh, preaching a couple times, at the congregation there, and also going out to the villages to teach. And while we were there, we witnessed men who had lost one or more limbs to landmines that were left over during the time of the Khmer Rouge. We saw piles of thousands of skulls that were dug up from pits of people that had been killed simply because they were educated, teachers, doctors, lawyers, students, even those that just had the appearance of intellectualism, glasses, wearing glasses got you killed at that time. Or because they were from a certain race or religion, or because they had ties to the West or to the former government, or just because. We saw thousands of pictures of emaciated bodies at Toh Slang, of those that had been tortured, often with farm elements to save bullets, to save ammunition. And those people were ultimately executed. We listened to horrific accounts from some of those that lived during that time, their firsthand experiences. We stayed in relative luxury among those who make often less in a month than most Americans make in a day. And we were surrounded by children holding up naked babies, begging for something to eat. And all the time that I was there, I could not help but think that this must be how Jesus felt when he was here on earth. My wife and I went to Cambodia from a place of relative ease and luxury, where most people are well fed. In fact, we have a problem with obesity. But Jesus went to this earth, came to this earth, from a place without any sorrow or pain. And while he was here, he was often surrounded by people who were sick and hungry and hurting. How did Jesus respond to all of this suffering? What did he say and do in the midst of the heartache and pain? Look with me at Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35 there. It says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He was moved in his gut, in his inner being. He couldn't help but be moved by the misery, the heartache, the trouble that he's all around them. Today, we're going to look at the compassion of Christ. We're going to think about that idea and that word. We're going to see that Jesus had compassion on those that were physically hurting. He had compassion on those who were hurting emotionally. And most importantly, he had compassion on those who were hurting spiritually. If you would turn back to Matthew chapter 4, and let's begin by looking at some passages where Jesus had compassion on those who were physically hurting. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus' ministry has just begun. He has been baptized by John the Baptist in chapter 3. He's tempted by the devil there in the wilderness. Right after that, Matthew tells us how Jesus began to preach in the region of Galilee, and briefly relates how Jesus had called Peter and Andrew, James and John, to be his disciples. But look with me, beginning there in Matthew chapter 4, down in verse 23. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Notice that the wording there is almost the same as what we just read in chapter 9. This was Jesus' regular practice. It was his habit. Verse 24, news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. The thing that I want you to notice or to take out of this passage is that Jesus took care of the needs of the people that came to him. When he saw someone hurting, when he saw someone in physical discomfort, sickness and pain, when he saw the misery, the heartache, he couldn't help but be moved to do something. And oftentimes we see him heal those that they brought to him. Over and over and over again, we read that. I'm sure you can all recall stories of how Jesus did that, how he responded to those who were physically hurting. The Gospels are literally full of those. How he helped the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak. Of how he healed the lame and how lepers were made whole again. Of how he cast out demons and how he even raised some who were dead. Now, part of the reason Jesus did those things was to prove who he was, to show that he was from God. Because only one sent from God could do those things. To show that he is the Messiah, the Christ. Because those are the very things that the Old Testament talks about the Messiah doing. When the people saw what Jesus did, when they saw the mute speaking, the lame speaking, the text tells us that they gave glory to God. Because they recognized that the hand of God must be at work here. But there are a number of passages that indicate that Jesus also did these things out of compassion. Compassion for those who are hurting. And that's what we want to focus in on this morning. Over in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is in the area of the Sea of Galilee. He's gone up on a mountainside there and sat down. And a great crowd is there with him, a crowd of more than 4,000 men. Many of them bring their sick, and they lay them before him, and Jesus heals them, just as he did in chapter 9, just as he did in chapter 4 of Matthew, as we just read. Then in verse 32, it says, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or else they may collapse on the way. Jesus was concerned about the crowd's physical well-being. His purpose on earth wasn't to see that their bellies were full. It wasn't to make sure that they were full of bread at all times. If that had been his purpose, he could have easily stayed there and continued to multiply the bread and the fishes week in and week out, day in and day out. That wasn't why he came. But he had such compassion on these people when he saw their need that he couldn't help but do something about it. He couldn't turn a blind eye to the needs of those that were standing there looking him in the face. As Christians, do we have that same type of compassion for those right around us who are physically hurting? Years ago, when I was preaching down in Texas, a woman stopped by the church building there and asked if we helped the hungry. I was living in a very small town at the time, even smaller than Waynesville. It's even smaller than that when you consider that you had to drive about 30 minutes just to get to the next town of decent size. She stopped and she said that her and her husband had just moved into the town. Her husband was still looking for work. She was supposed to start at the Dairy Queen the next day. But they had 5 children to feed. And they weren't sure if they were going to be able to make it until she got her first paycheck. I called one of the elders' wives and she took the woman to the local food pantry that they had in town and got her something to get by in the meantime. But the amazing thing about that story was that she had already stopped several places in town, several other religious groups there, and they had told her that there was no place like that in town, and not a single person offered to help her. Are we moved with compassion when we see others in need? Even if there wasn't anyone available to call, even if there wasn't a local food pantry, I would have taken that woman to the store and got her what her needed. My compassion would not allow me to do anything else. It should not allow us to do anything else. When we see people truly in need, we should be moved with compassion to help, just as the Good Samaritan, just as Jesus we see doing in the gospel. Over in Matthew chapter 20, you have another instance in which Jesus is said to have had compassion on those with physical ailments. This time, Jesus and his disciples are near Jericho. They're on the way to Jerusalem. As they leave the city of Jericho, 2 men cry out to him, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd tries to silence them. "Be quiet." They try to put them to the side. "Don't talk." But they cry out all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And the text says in verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they were able to see. Jesus, when he saw a need, was moved by compassion. Now, of course, you and I can't restore the sight of the blind. We can't heal disease and sickness like Jesus could. And we're not expected of that. Jesus, or God, does not expect us to do anything that we're unable to do. But we can have compassion on those around us that we see that are hurting. We can visit the sick. We can open the door for one who is struggling to get it open. We can offer a supporting arm for those that are struggling to walk. We can be the eyes of the blind. We can be the ears of the deaf. We can be the voice of the mute if that need arises. Jesus had compassion for the physical needs of the people around him, even when no one else did, when everyone else was trying to silence them. And we need to do the same. Not only did Jesus have compassion for people's physical needs, but he also put their needs above his own. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14. In the very beginning of that chapter, we read about how John the Baptist was beheaded. One of Jesus' relatives, the one that was his forerunner, the one that prophesied of his coming and called the people to repentance, prepared the way for him. He was put to death. And I don't know how you all react to losing a loved one, but I could remember quite vividly losing my grandmother, my dad's mom. Rio and I were still living in Thailand. I hadn't seen her in 3.5 years. I hadn't been back to the States in 3.5 years. Rio and I were trying to get back, but she didn't want me to leave her. She didn't want me to go even for a visit. We had just gotten her visa. We're preparing to buy the plane tickets to come back. We came back in December of 2005, but she passed away in late November of 2005. At the time, I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to be around anyone. Notice what Jesus does in verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened to John the Baptist, that is, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Why do people go to a solitary place? Because they want to be alone. Maybe because they want to spend some time thinking, reflecting on what has just happened. Maybe to have some time to grieve or some time to think about what they've lost. Perhaps to spend some time alone with their Heavenly Father, as Jesus often did. Jesus has those same needs that you and I have. But when people came to him that were sick and hurting, he put his needs aside and took care of their needs. Jesus put their needs before his own. What do we do when things come up in the lives of those around us? Are we willing to help them when they need help at the moment that need arises? Are we willing to sacrifice things in our own life to make sure that that need is met? Are we willing to turn off the football game or to take a day off work? Or to cancel our weekend plans, to make sure that whatever they need is met, that those who are hurting are taken care of. Are we willing to do that even for those that we're not very close to? Or are we too wrapped up in everything that we're doing, too comfortable in the lives that we're living, to give them the time and the help that they need? Jesus put others' needs before his own. And if we're to call ourselves his followers, we need to learn to do the same. Jesus not only had compassion on those who were physically hurting, he also had compassion on those who were hurting emotionally. To demonstrate this, I want you to turn over to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. Here in Mark chapter 1, we have a story of how Jesus healed a man. But I want you to listen very carefully to this account. Mark chapter 1, beginning there in verse 40. It says, "A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured." Now, at first, this may appear to be just like any other healing that Jesus performs, many of the other miraculous healings. But if you think about it for a moment, you'll notice that it was more than that. This wasn't just any man that was healed. This was a leper. What did it mean to be a leper at that time? It meant that you were estranged from your community. It meant you were separated from your family, separated from your friends. It meant that everywhere you went, you had to call out, "Unclean, unclean," so that no one would come near. Just imagine what this man's life was like. Imagine the loneliness. Imagine the shame. Imagine the emotional wounds that ran much deeper than the physical wounds you might see on his body. But when Jesus healed him, he reached out and he touched him. Did Jesus have to touch the man in order for that man to be healed? No. We have other accounts in the Gospels of how Jesus healed individuals from miles away. He didn't have to touch the man, but he did to show his compassion, to show his care for this man. Because he knew that this man was hurting on a level other than just what you could see physically. Are we willing to reach out and touch people when they're hurting emotionally? In our lives, are we willing to reach out and touch those around us, those that we see are struggling, those that we know are hurting inside, those that we know are hiding back tears from the world? Are we willing to be there for them when no one else will? Jesus reached out to those who were hurting inside. He reached out to those that were outcasts of society, those who were often rejected, Over in Luke chapter 5, he called a tax collector named Levi or Matthew to be his disciple. Tax collectors were often rejected because they were seen as being traitors to the Jewish nation. They were often despised and looked down upon, especially by the religious leaders, the Pharisees at the time. And after Jesus called Levi or Matthew to be his disciple, he ate with a large crowd of tax collectors and others, Matthew's former associates, I would assume. And even when accused by the religious leaders there of eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners, Jesus continued to reach out to those in need. In John chapter 4, we read about him reaching out to the Samaritan woman, a woman that the other Jews would look down upon because of her race, a Samaritan, and because of her background. A woman that probably had deep emotional pains, having had five husbands in the past, and the man she was now with was not even her husband. And yet Jesus reached out to her. In Luke chapter 7, he reached out to a sinful woman who came to anoint his feet and sat there weeping, wetting his feet with her tears, wiping them with her hair. He didn't dismiss her, as Simon had, as being a great sinner, as being one that should be avoided at all cost. Instead, Jesus reached out to that woman. Are you and I willing to reach out to those that others reject, that others want nothing to do with? Again, when I was in Thailand many years ago and studying English with people using the Bible, over the years I had some students that were bar girls, essentially prostitutes in that culture. I had a male student or two that were very clearly effeminate and more than likely homosexual. A few that were Muslim and others that you wouldn't want to be around for one reason or the other. The way that they spoke, the way that they acted, the way that they smelled. Many that most people would reject and want nothing to do with, that they would just ignore. And it wasn't easy reaching out to people like that. But if they're ever to be reached by the saving message of the gospel, someone has to share that message with them. Just as Jesus reached out to those who were hurting, you and I have to continue to reach out. I didn't approve of their lifestyles any more than Jesus did when he was here on earth. But I have to show compassion to people even like that. Look over with me at Luke chapter 7. I want us to see one more thing in regard to the compassion that Jesus had for those who were hurting emotionally. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 11 there. It says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow." Can you imagine what that woman must have been going through? What it must have been like at that time? I know what it's like to lose my grandmother. I lost a good friend in middle school in a car accident. I've lost many others since then, my father. But I cannot imagine what it must have been like to lose all of your family, her only son, and she is a widow. What must she be thinking? What must she be wondering? Maybe where her next meal is going to come from, how she's going to get by in a society where usually the men are the ones that work outside the home. Maybe she's wondering whether or not she can even go on, whether or not life is even worth living anymore, much like Naomi in the book of Ruth. But watch what Jesus does. It says, "And a large crowd from the town was with her." Verse 13, "When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. He was moved with compassion. And he said, 'Don't cry.' Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, 'Young man, I say to you, get up.' The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother." Jesus didn't resurrect every person that had died. He could have, As one person put it in John 11, when Jesus is standing there and facing the graves, and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." It's a good thing he specified Lazarus, because if not, if he just simply said, "Come forth," everyone in the grave would have come out. He could have done that, but he didn't. But Jesus picked up on this woman's emotional pain and need and gave her back her son. Jesus was perceptive to the needs of others. The question is, are we? Do we notice it when others around us are having problems? Do we see the telltale signs, the tired eyes, the red eyes from lack of sleep? Or perhaps eyes that have recently been wet with tears? Do we notice the fatigue or the distant gazes? Do we even care? Jesus was perceptive to the grief, the fear, the loneliness of those around him. He was concerned about others, and he was moved with compassion. And that compassion prompted him to act, to do something, to address the need, to help others. And as his followers, we must do the same. Not only did Jesus care about people's physical needs, not only did he care about people's emotional needs, but most importantly, Jesus cared about their spiritual needs. Jesus had compassion on the spiritually needy, the lost, which is all of us. Jesus did not forget the purpose for which he came. Turn over to Luke chapter 4, just a few chapters back from where you are. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 40 there. It says, "When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness. And having laid his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, 'You are the Son of God.' But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent.'" Jesus did not forget the purpose for which he came. He did not come to heal the sick or to feed the hungry or to care for widows, even though he did all of those things out of compassion at points in his life here on earth. If cleaning out the hospitals was his purpose, he would have gone from sickbed to sickbed, not synagogue to synagogue. If he was to raise the physical dead, he would have gone from graveyard to graveyard. If feeding the hungry was his purpose, he never would have left that mountaintop. He would have kept on multiplying the loaves and fishes. Jesus' purpose, though, wasn't any of those things. His purpose, which he never forgot, is very clearly stated in Luke 19:10. To bring eternal salvation to the lost. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." And that is what Jesus did first and foremost. The question for us today, though, is do we ever forget our purpose? Do we ever get too busy making a living? Too busy with school? Too busy with sports or entertainment? Too busy with hobbies? The things that we do in our life? Or even too busy doing church, too busy with Bible classes or get-togethers, women's groups, too busy with youth activities or camps or attending gospel meetings, too busy working at food banks or orphanages, that we forget the one thing that is truly important, that we forget to care about those who are spiritually lost. My second year when I was at Sunset, a number of students and I went on a campaign to Spotsylvania, Virginia, very near the nation's capital. And there we knocked on doors from morning until night. Through that, many seeds were planted. Through that time, many Bible studies were set up. But none of that's what was so exciting to me. What was so exciting is that we weren't the only ones doing it. All of the members of the church were out there doing it with us. They had not forgotten their love of the lost. They had not forgotten their purpose. They had not forgotten that those around them are eternally lost unless they receive the saving message of the gospel. What do you see when you see the faces of those around you? Do you see people that you think are doing just fine? Do you see people that you think are physically hurting? Do you see people going through emotional struggle and pain? Or do you see people that are eternally lost unless they receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I can still remember a story about Klein Payden, one of the founders of Sunset, the preaching school there, how when he went to China the very first time, he would ride on a bus or a train, and as he rode along and looked out at the hundreds and thousands of faces that passed by, he would quietly say to himself, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we have not brought the gospel to you sooner." Do we have that same type of compassion for the lost? You still have your Bibles open. Turn back or turn over to Luke chapter 5. We're not actually going to read this story, but it should be very familiar to you all. The story of Jesus healing the paralytic. Four men carry this man, they're trying to make their way to Jesus. They can't because of the crowds that are in front of him. And so they go up on the ceiling. They hoist him up there and they lower him down in front of Jesus. And the text tells us that Jesus saw their faith, the faith of this man and the men that were with him. And he said, "Friend, you are healed." No, that's not what he said, is it? He said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, Jesus did go ahead and heal the man. He healed the man to show that he had the authority to forgive that man's sins. But Jesus did not forget the one thing that was truly important. You see, Jesus cared more about that man's soul than he did about his physical condition. The greatest compassion you can show to another human being is to share the message of the gospel, that saving message, with them. And the greatest expression of hate or lack of concern that you can express is to fail to do that, even if it's by omission. As Jesus put it in Mark 8, verse 36, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul?" As we're closing out this morning, look back with me at Matthew chapter 9. It's there on the screen as well. The passage that we began with in the very beginning says, as we read earlier, it says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." But notice verses 37 and 38. "Then he said to the disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" Jesus had compassion on the crowds. Yes, because they were physically hurting. Yes, because they were hurting emotionally. But ultimately, because they were spiritually lost, their spiritual need. That's the source of all of the hurting and the heartache in life. Because they had no one to guide them. And they kept falling into sin, kept falling into one problem after another. Jesus tells the disciples to pray that the Lord of harvest would send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus understood, you see, that people in times of physical and emotional turmoil and pain, people are often more receptive to the saving message of the gospel. If we've been there for them, showing compassion and love and kindness during their time of hurting, then they're more likely to listen to what we have to say, or at least more likely than they would have been otherwise. Many years ago, I had another student when I was in Thailand. There was a girl named Nut that came and studied English with me. She was engaged to an American that I believe she had met online. They might have met in person one time, very briefly. But she had moved to Phuket, where we were living, She had no family there, no friends. She had come there alone in order to take some classes, some English classes, some cooking classes, in order to be a better wife to her future husband. While we were studying together, she found out that her fiancé or her boyfriend had died. She was left alone with no future, no hope, no plan of what she was going to do in the future. But the first place she turned was to the Christians there at the church, those that listened to her and to her story. And a few months later, she became a Christian. When we reach out to those who are in need, we have the opportunity to share something with them that is truly important. We were able to meet the one true need that she had, which was salvation through Jesus Christ. If we have true compassion for people's physical and emotional needs, which we can see, then we will also have true compassion for their spiritual need, which we cannot. But if nothing moves us, if we have no compassion on those who are physically and emotionally hurting, then neither will we have compassion upon the spiritual need which we cannot see. What is it that moves you? What is it that moves your gut, that moves you to act just as Jesus did? Are you feeding the hungry? Are you caring for those in distress? Do you truly care about the lost? That's what Jesus did. And as his followers, we need to do the same. This morning we've seen the compassion of Christ. Compassion for those who are physically hurting. Compassion for the emotionally wounded. And most of all, compassion for the spiritually lost. And that compassion, though, is not just something that he showed 2,000 years ago. It is something that he still shows today. It is something that he's offering to you right now. When Jesus looked at the crowds, Matthew said that he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he sees us the very same way. He sees our struggles. He sees our burdens. He sees the sins that we carry, the guilt that we hide, the pain that we don't talk about. If you're outside of Christ this morning, he is seeking you. He's calling you to come, inviting you to come to him, to the one who loved you enough to go to the cross, to the one who rose again to give you newness of life, the one who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you can do that this morning. You can come to him, turn to him, and turn away from sin. Confess him as your Lord of your life. Then be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Receive a new life. To be added to the family. Raised to walk with him. If, on the other hand, you're a Christian, but you've grown a little cold, that compassion is not quite as deep as it once was. If you need to work on having the compassion that Jesus had for those around him, today's the day to begin that anew. Whatever your need is, Jesus is there waiting for you to come. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?